Hello, this is the Black and Asian Therapist Network podcast. My name is Eugene Ellis. In this podcast, I'm speaking with Poppy Banerjee. Poppy Banerjee has been practicing as a counsellor and psychotherapist since 1994 and has been trained in person-centred existential therapies and has substantial experience of working with Asian women and girls. She's also a trainer, group facilitator, and a qualified clinical supervisor. In 1995, Poppy initiated and developed a pan-London forum for Asian counsellors and professionals working in the mental health field called the Asian Mental Health Forum. Poppy has been involved as a consultant with various voluntary and statutory organisations and has been instrumental in setting up and developing services especially for Asian women focusing on domestic violence, forced marriage, self-harm and any other social issues affecting the community. Poppy is also an associate member of BARTN, the Black and Asian Therapies Network, and currently facilitating student support groups focusing on race and culture. Here then is Poppy Banerjee. Hello, Poppy, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Jim.
Hello. We've known each other for quite a while. I was just trying to remember the first time we met. I can't remember when that was.
6 years now.
Is it 6 years? Yeah. I think it was, it's through a mutual friend, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And then you came on board with some of the support groups for supporting students who are going through training.
Yeah.
And you excellently facilitate those groups. And so we've kind of known each other a little bit more through that. And we kind of bump into each other at conferences. And so, welcome and thank you for coming. You're a psychotherapist and you're a consultant as well for organisations, especially around Asian women and girls.
Yeah.
And you're very passionate about this area, specifically around domestic violence, forced marriage and self-harm.
Mm-hmm.
And you're committed to raising awareness in the community in this area.
Absolutely.
And you've been practicing for many, many years, but what motivated you to become a counsellor? What sort of started the journey for you? What was the seed that kind of took you there?
This is going back about 18, 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking of changing my job.
Right. What were you doing at the time?
Well, I was in housing field. My background in housing, basically managing hostels for single homeless women who had medium to high support needs.
Right, right.
But I was really kind of looking at changes,
mm-hmm.
But didn't know what. And also there were some cultural issues, conflict that I was going through.
Right.
So I started looking for a counsellor. Okay. I wanted to look for someone from my own culture.
Okay.
Female Asian counsellor.
Okay.
And I searched and searched.
All right.
I couldn't find any.
Okay.
So I thought, okay, if I can't find one, I'll become one.
Hmm.
So this is what inspired me to start a diploma.
Right.
Hence, I went in that field and I felt quite passionate about what counselling involves.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Here I am.
Okay.
So 18 years in practice now.
Yeah. So, it sounds like you got a counsellor for yourself. I guess that wasn't an Asian counsellor, but what was that? Was that an okay experience for you?
Yes, I tried different counsellors.
Right.
Male, female, from different backgrounds and race.
Oh, right.
So that was interesting, and I learned from each one of them that I've worked with.
Yeah.
And that affirmed my decision to become counsellor.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Was it becoming a counsellor first, your decision, and then you went into counselling, or was it...
No,
I didn't need something for myself. And then through that process, you thought, oh, there's something in here that could...
Yeah. I didn't actually know very much about what counselling involved.
Right.
I started searching, and I wanted someone who is Asian.
Yes.
To look at some cultural issues to work through.
Yes.
Because I couldn't find any, so I thought, okay, I'll just start and see what happens.
Okay.
So I worked with a counsellor from a white background.
Yeah.
And I found it really challenging as well as interesting, and I've worked through a lot of issues.
Okay.
And then I changed my counsellor after about a few months or so.
Hmm.
and tried different ones to see the style.
Yes, yes.
And that's when I started thinking about going on the course.
Right, right, right.
So as I was in therapy,
yes,
I went on the course
and
found that this is something that I'm really interested in.
Mm. I mean, did you have, when you went on the counselling course, did you sort of know where you were going with that? Did you kind of say, I want to do this, I want to... Or was it more kind of just process and...
Yeah, a bit of both. I did a lot of research around what I wanted to do, what kind of counselling as well.
Okay.
So I talked to different people. I talked to my counsellor as well.
Mm.
And then looked into what would suit me.
Yes.
And I enrolled in a course that was self-directed.
Right.
Humanistic, person-centred, existential level.
Mm-hmm.
So... as I joined in, I found myself really connected to the course I was doing. And then I continued with that. When I read about other approaches, I felt I could understand, but person-centered was the style that I wanted to adopt.
But was it easy to call yourself a counsellor? Did you sort of hold on to that title well? Because I know... A lot of other black counsellors that I've met, or Asian counsellors, they kind of, the word counsellor, psychotherapist, sort of doesn't quite fit in with a lot of family expectations and so on. I mean, is that something that you struggled with, or did you sort of take that sort of role fairly swiftly?
I think for me it was fine.
Right.
But it was really difficult to explain to other people what it involves, especially in... the Asian languages, counsellor is meaning to be advisor.
Okay.
So it doesn't have a definition as such as we understand.
Yeah, yeah.
People often interpret counsellor to be giving advice. So I had to struggle a lot explaining the differences between counsellor and advisor.
Right.
And I think at times I still do that. Okay. It's an ongoing process.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, it was very much clear around what the role involves, but not necessarily for other people, especially in my community.
Right, right, right.
It was fine over the years. As I started to practice, I found that it's become more and more popular.
Mm.
Initially, going back 17, 18 years ago, especially in the community, they didn't know what counselling is about, often associated counselling with mental health problems or illness.
Yes, yes.
So you had to... And that was a challenge.
Right. If you're not ill, why would I go?
Exactly. Sort of
thing, did you feel supported by your community? Were they resistant, do you think? Or did they just go with the flow? I mean, what was your experience? I know different people have different experiences.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I started to do is I took up a post of a development manager and set up a counselling service. Initially, this is in a voluntary organisation, Hackney. Initially, we received some funding.
Yes.
But the organisation wasn't sure how to set it up.
Hmm.
So I organised a conference, Asian Women and Mental Health Conference.
Okay.
This was meant to be just for the borough initially.
Mm-hmm.
Then it became so big, I received calls and people being interested from all over London.
Yes.
And then through word of mouth, people got to know I had members of the community from Birmingham and Manchester.
Oh, right.
So initially, I wanted it in the borough.
Yeah.
It became a national conference.
Right.
So I had to postpone, and the time scale had to be a bit longer, obviously. So the conference was a real success.
Mm.
I didn't expect more than 50 people. We had 150.
Great.
From that conference, it was very much an evidence that there were needs for Asian practitioners, whether they are in mental health fields or counselling, needed the support. Hence, one of the recommendations was to set up Asian Mental Health Forum.
Nice.
And that's where I initiated the forum.
Yes, and you were chair of that.
And I chaired for about, well, over, we ran for about 10 years. It went on for 10 years, which is a long time.
Mm.
Now and then I chaired and I came out. Other people took time.
Okay.
So it was an interesting forum. People made use of it. We had lots of counsellors in training who needed that support.
So you were supporting, you know, the councillors that were coming up.
That's right.
They would have gotten a lot out of that, wouldn't they? Because there were very few.
That's right.
Asian councillors or Asian women councillors at that time. Yeah.
One of the other things I also did, Eugene, to raise awareness, did a lot of community events.
Okay.
And invited community members to come on board to workshops.
Right.
So if I could explain what counselling is, then they would understand whether they need it for themselves or other people in the family or not.
Yes.
So that way I've actually managed to get a lot of audience who became aware of what it involves.
Yes.
And as I continued to do that, we generated self-referrals.
Right.
And that's how the project got set up.
Right. Is that project still running, the one that you set up at that point?
Yes, it is still running. But I was there for about 5-6 years.
Okay.
Having set it up, I moved on to another project.
Right. It sounds as if, speaking to you earlier, it sort of sounds like you kind of get things flourishing somewhere and spend time and nurture it and, you know, bring it to fruition and then sort of move on and create something somewhere else. Is that kind of how it is?
It's still the same for me. I feel very passionate about supporting other people to become counsellors or practitioners. I go into a field, I set it up, and I like to see other people coming on board. When they're ready, they take over, and I go up.
Okay.
Fly off.
You fly off and sort of do it somewhere else.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, you're passionate around this area with the Asian women and domestic violence and forced marriage and so on. I mean, is that something that you deliberately went for, or was it just something that was just a need which you kind of went for and met?
As I said earlier, my background is housing. I used to manage hostel. For single homeless women who have been abused in some ways, and a lot of them were survivors of domestic violence. So I had that little bit of knowledge around that issue.
So you could see the pain, you could see the issues. You said to yourself, well, I've got something to offer in terms of
more in
supporting
depth.
Them more in depth and psychologically. Yeah. Okay.
So when I established the project, I did a lot of outreach work, going to GPs and organizations, agencies supporting Asian women in domestic violence situation, etc. And that way generated referrals. I, at the moment, work for two organizations. One is Neom Asian Women's Project.
Okay.
It's a domestic violence organization supporting Asian women. I also work for Changing Lives. We have office in London, South London, as well as Luton. I'm actually at the moment working in Luton. It's very much around getting the community to look after their mental well-being. So the project is helping the community members to identify what the needs are.
Yes.
And there are a lot of potential. There's a lot of experiences, wealth of information and knowledge, but they're not utilizing them. So what we are actually doing is helping them to recognize their potential. They then become volunteer with the organization.
Okay.
So once they have been with us for a while, they get trained to become facilitators.
Right.
So they go through the whole process of coming onto our training programs. Having done that once or twice, they become volunteer. They go in as observers, with a hat to become a facilitator at some point in their lives. Then they take up the facilitator's role and they're supported throughout.
Right, right.
So that's one of the very interesting thing I do. And in addition, I also offer group therapy as well as one-to-one.
It sort of sounds, there's a kind of a sort of natural flow between coming in as a client, I guess, or a patient, and then moving through the process and then supporting other people coming in through the front door and moving on like that. So that, I mean, that sounds really good, really great. I mean, are there, I guess there are challenges with seeking support for that kind of thing. I mean, because of the culture, I guess for anyone, not just Asians, but...
There's a lot of stigma attached. Not just in Asian community, in all communities, I'm sure. In the Asian community, particularly, confidentiality is a big issue. So they don't necessarily talk to anyone.
How do you manage that and get people to come?
It's, again, word of mouth. I have worked with a lot of clients who have had counselling before from either our organisation or elsewhere.
Right.
And if they've had positive experience, they'll, you know, go and tell others. That's how they do make self-referrals. But we get a lot of referrals from GPs and other agencies, really. So going back to the stigma attached, because of the confidentiality issue, they don't talk about it very much with friends and relatives.
Yes.
But they will talk to professionals once they engage.
Right.
It's actually getting them engaged.
Yes.
Is a challenging issue.
Right. So, that, I mean, that's, you know, the outreach work, I guess, is about that.
Absolutely.
I mean, what's the most effective way that you found to engage them in that way?
Initially, it's actually doing workshops and organizing community events.
Yeah.
So, for example, if it's International Women's Day, they will have a whole day of fun. We'll have a table, stall, where we can explain what counselling is about.
Right.
And do a bit of presentation.
Right.
Who can come and when, etc. I come from a view that anybody can make use of counselling. You don't necessarily have to have a problem to see a therapist. You can work through things that are good to improve. So my presentation would be, it's not that you're not doing well. You're probably doing fine, but you may need to think about areas that you want to improve around so you can make use of it. So what happens? Then they take up that opportunity, and then as they start engaging, they find themselves going deeper and deeper, and they make good use of it, and they have positive experience.
You'll probably get the most out of it if you're not... on your knees.
Yeah. And they're coming on a voluntary basis. Yes. You know, nobody's actually telling them that you need counselling.
Yes.
They are making that informed decision and it works.
Yeah. You've probably seen, you know, many people go through the project and come out the other side and get something out of it, which is why you do this work.
Absolutely.
What inspires you the most? You know, you're working on these projects and you're, you know, you need to get up and... do the drudgery, which some of it is not all, you know, some of it's kind of hard work, staying with the pain and so on. I mean, what inspires you to stay?
Nature of the job is such, we don't know what's happening after they've finished working with us. So we, 80% of the time, we wouldn't know how they're doing. But in my heart, I know that they've made use of it and they've worked through certain things. And they are where they are now. Through the process of counselling, I know, not necessarily through the evaluation forms, but I know through the process that they have actually got somewhere.
Yes, yes.
Perhaps not to the extent that they expected in all cases,
but
they have. So they go away having made use of it. So, and what inspires me also, when I get a card after a year, Right. Or if I get a call, in fact, just last week I received a phone call from an old client of mine saying that she was granted to remain in England. Basically, she was on no course to public funds. So she, the immigration status was such, she was facing deportation.
Right.
So we worked through that, and there's a lot of report writing, etc. She was in a very, very difficult, uncertain place. So, you know, having received a call saying thank you for your support and help made my job worthwhile. So when I get a letter or card or phone call, makes me feel, I want to continue with this.
Yes, because I guess as counsellors, we see people and they go, and we don't often know what happens when they leave. So it's nice, as you say, to get something a year later, and you think it's clearly had an impact a year after. And they've changed some aspect of their lives for the better. So,
I've actually worked with a number of clients who have become counsellors now.
Oh, okay.
So that's quite inspiring.
Right. Okay.
So I meet them and say, oh, it's, about 5 years ago I had counselling from you. So I know quite a few people who have actually, having had therapy, went on to course and did well and now practicing.
Right, okay, so that's sort of another sort of inspiring thing. What is it about counselling that sort of moves it away from just your chat to your friends?
I explain a lot about what confidentiality means. So clients are able to share what they feel openly.
Yes.
Of course, the trust needs to be built up.
Sure.
It's really important, the emphasis is there, that I'm not, as a counsellor, going to give them advice. So just being there in the session, listening to their pain, listening to what they have to say, gets them to think about it being different from talking to a friend or a relative. For some of them, it's the only time or the first time when they come for counselling, they get to sit down and talk about themselves, think about themselves, and acknowledge feelings. So that's the huge difference between counselling process and talking to a friend.
So it's something about your voice being heard. Absolutely. Without advice, without counsel, without someone else's view on it.
We're not placing any opinion.
No, judgment-free, I suppose.
It's about thinking aloud and picking up on underlying issues. Perhaps it's difficult for some people, but it enforces them to think and feel.
And what if you just think about your feelings so much, you know, just sort of just go under in a well of despair? What sort of prevents that getting lost in it feeling, which I guess people must feel a sort of weariness around talking?
I think people need to go through that process of feeling and acknowledging. And the actual work needs to happen around where the feelings are coming from. What causes it? If there's a problem, you cannot necessarily solve the problem unless you know where it's coming from.
Right.
So you need to go to the root of the problem to identify so that you can prevent it from happening again. That's another long-term impact of counselling. You learn from your experience and then go through the whole process of understanding how much you as a client have contributed in that. So taking responsibility as well. So it's not just talking about feeling and acknowledging and doing nothing about it. It's taking the responsibility to sort it out for yourself.
Because I guess what you're saying is that our feelings drive us, and we may not know that. And by giving ourselves a bit of a space to reflect and to think about emotionally where we are and then where that's come from, gives us more opportunities to kind of change. If we know why it's there, we can then make some conscious decisions about
that's right.
And there's some sense of responsibility there, isn't it? Or being able to respond to the things that are going on inside you.
Yeah.
the process of talking is just about uncovering a lot of that for yourself.
Mm. That's right, yeah. I believe that all problems have solutions. Sometimes we don't know how to find them ourselves. So it's about going through the process of talking about it, thinking about it, feeling and understanding where it's coming from.
Yes, yes.
So if we go through that, then we'll be able to come up with ideas, i.e. solutions.
But you're also saying that there's something inherently different about doing it on your own, because you could sit on your own and write all this stuff down and try to work it out. And doing it with someone else, there's something different about that.
And someone else who's trained.
Right, yeah.
Who was trained to be able to unpick, if you know what I mean.
Kind of knows how the mind works.
Yeah.
And can use that knowledge to get you to where you want to go.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So helping them to go much more of a deeper level.
Yeah, yeah.
And come up with solutions.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So, what are the sort of frustrating aspects of, you know, the work, setting up these organisations and, you know, the day-to-day kind of getting up and hearing these stories? What are the sort of tricky moments for you in terms of all of that?
I guess initially, in my early days, it was a challenge to have to go out in the community and justify the need for it.
Yes.
Why do anybody need counselling? What good would it do? And also in the community, if you're working with women, there's a lot more challenges. Because why is it for women only?
Are
you breaking up families?
Yes, right, yes.
So if you're supporting a woman to find herself, you are seen to be breaking up family. Because they can become a bit assertive.
Oh, okay.
They can feel empowered.
Yes.
And if they make informed decision, then it can create a bit of a problem for perpetrators, I guess.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it could be seen like that, couldn't it? Yeah. If you're going to empower women in that way, it's going to mess up the status quo, and I guess there could be some resistance against that.
Yeah.
In terms of Asian men's projects, are there Asian men's projects?
Not as many as there could be or should be, because we all need counselling.
Yes.
A lot of work needs to happen with the family.
Mm.
Strengthening families is important, because you can only do so much work on individual level. So if the whole family is looked after, they can look after each other, and that prevents individuals to become depressed or victims or whatever.
Mm. Are there projects that sort of look in that area for, in terms of families? You're supporting the victims of domestic violence.
In one of the projects.
Right.
In the other project where I work, it is a lot of work is happening around strengthening families.
Right, okay.
So we are working, there's a model, a strengthening family program. Basically,
right.
It's a 7-week program for 2 to 3 hours. It's 21 hours altogether. So we get the families together, split them into adults and young people, and then simultaneously work with them.
Right.
The facilitators would help them to go through the process of understanding what their children are thinking.
Right.
And understanding what the youth group's parents are thinking, then getting them together, talking, having a dialogue. So it's also about recognizing skills and abilities they have, and what are the kind of things that they need to communicate around to strengthen the family. So I find that quite interesting. It's not strictly counselling, but I will use my counselling skills in facilitating those programs.
And those families, do they sort of just self-refer, or do they tend to come?
It's through GPs? Schools, yeah, right.
Okay, that sounds an important project.
Yeah.
Yes. Is that something new that's happening, or has that been happening for a while?
It's been happening for a couple of years now.
Okay.
And this is in Luton.
Right, okay.
And we are hoping to expand in London as well.
Mm. So what's next for Poppy? I mean,
for
obviously
me.
you'd be, I guess, after Luton, you might be moving to somewhere else. But do you envisage continuing doing this kind of work, or are you going to write in this area, or train or anything?
I mean, I can see myself doing this in addition to one-to-one, offer group therapy as well as training.
Nice.
And with Black and Asian Therapist Network, I love the opportunity to meet with students when I facilitate student support group and learn from them, and hope to continue with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been great talking to you. You're really confident about your work, and you know, you leave your training and just go and set up an organisation. Just seems just like that, and it just feels quite inspiring that anyone can kind of just do that. I'm sure anyone can't, but you certainly can.
With a lot of support from colleagues.
With a lot of support. Okay, of course. So thank you. It's been really good to talk to you.
And, thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, I look forward to working with you somewhere down the line. I'm sure we'll meet again very soon.
Thank you.
And thanks again.
Okay, thank you.
That was Poppy Banerjee talking about her work with Asian women and families. If you want to know more about the Black and Asian Therapist Network, you can visit their website on www.baatn.org.uk. If you'd like to comment about this or any of the other podcasts, you can do so on the podcast page, or you can email me at podcast@baatn.org.uk. I hope you can join me for the next podcast. Until then, goodbye.